On each show, we interview business and political experts, all with the idea of promoting as much individual freedom as we can get. So won't you join and listen in every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, for Freedom Works, The Paul Molloy Show, right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. Should 5% appear too small? Thankful I don't take it all. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man.
Sounds like we're getting some of our money back, doesn't it? All these stimulus checks and everything. Did you get your stimulus check? Finally? I wonder how many people actually got the check in comparison, you know? I'm sure there's a bunch of people that didn't get their money and they're wondering, why didn't I get the check, right? Well, anyway, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am indeed Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. Hey, it's Tuesday, May 19th, and in a few minutes, Tony Francois will join us from the Pacific Legal Foundation. We're going to talk about whether monthly mortgage and rent payments should be suspended during this pandemic. Good question. So stay tuned for that. And House Democrats have told the Supreme Court that they are still doing an impeachment probe on Trump. Can you believe that? They want more Russian info from that Mueller investigation. So we're going to get some thoughts from the man who carries around the only poll that counts, the Barber poll, when it comes to mainstream America, Andrew Ceresi, on that topic, and also on Joe Biden's new nickname for President Trump. You know how Trump calls him Sleepy Joe? Well, Biden's got a name for Trump. Have you heard it? We'll tell you. And the president says he's going to step in if he thinks any governors are not doing right in handling this virus. But the question is, can he legally do that? Can he legally do that? We're going to discuss it. And, boy, we got stuff you want to hear in our ultimate top 10. And I think you're going to like this one, Ed. The top 10 ice cream flavors in America. And I'm sure you have a favorite. I have them. I have one. And let's see if our favorites are the number one or two or three. It'll be kind of interesting, right? Anyway, Freedom Work was sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza. Hey, he's back on. That little stoplight in the window is on again. All you got to do is call Nicole for your appointment. 733-3773. And down you go to the Master Barbershop. It's in downtown, not downtown Dunedin, but it's just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. So get over there. Once you get your appointment, 733-3773. Well, now I guess I don't know if Donald Trump intentionally wants to get people get their tongues wagging, but he brought up the fact that he's taken this hydrochloroquine or whatever you call it.
Yeah, you're close.
Hydroxychloroquine.
No, oxy is a different animal.
It's not an animal. Why don't I have the word in front of me so I can pronounce it correctly?
We'd have to send them to the Betty Ford Clinic.
Is that the same stuff, by the way, that you pour in your swimming pool?
No.
Okay.
No.
No, it's not.
The same stuff they gave for malaria.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hydroxychloroquine.
There you
Aha!
go.
I knew there was an ox in it somewhere. So he basically, he's doing a news conference yesterday, and he says he's taking it. I guess he's kind of proud of it. Now, it's done well, I guess, for people that have malaria. I don't know of too many people these days walking around with malaria. But he says, I'm taking it. He added, I think it's good. I've heard a lot of good stories, and if it's not good, I'll tell you. Yeah, you know, in a way, he's kind of like a, what do you want to call it? Guinea pig, maybe, for it? We can kind of watch. I mean, he's certainly on television enough. We'll be able to notice a change in him. If this stuff is not working, we'll probably notice a little bit of a change in the president. That's what I'm thinking. So maybe he's our test case.
Well, he's saying because he's in contact with so many people. I think he's just being cautious.
Yeah, he's
all.
A germaphobe. He's an admitted germaphobe. And I don't blame him.
I mean, a world leader, you know, over in England got caught, you know.
I don't blame him at all.
And plus, he's, you know, leading by example, saying, look, it's safe, I'm taking it.
Exactly. Yeah. So we can kind of watch and see how that all turns out. Speaking of hydroxychloroquine, this new drug that you and I talked about yesterday, it spurred Wall Street. Did you see the Wall Street was almost 1,000 points up at the end of yesterday? I haven't seen what it is today. I'll keep my eye on that. But Wall Street logged its best day in over a month yesterday, basically because of this Moderna trial, stoking a lot of optimism about a potential vaccine. So yesterday they closed at 912 points. That's pretty good. You know, considering what's going on here, that's pretty good. And I don't know if they can keep it up. It'll be interesting to see if they can sustain this kind of a thing. It's going to take a while even for this Moderna. By the way, Ed, I don't think that's the same drug that we had talked about last week where that San Francisco pharmaceutical company said they had. But I'll tell you what, the fact that we've got different companies talking about optimism with a particular drug they're dealing with, I think that's good news.
Well, whoever this one is, has completed phase one.
Yes.
And the drug is showing antibodies that produce to
positive phase
kill
one
a virus,
result.
Basically.
Yeah. Positive phase one results. The company said that after two doses, all 45 trial participants developed antibodies. All 45. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's very good. I just wonder why it's going to take more than a year to get it to market if it's good. I hope we can cut through all of that. Trump wants to get some sort of a vaccine by the end of the year. I think it's a little optimistic, but still.
You have to do all these testing to make sure you don't, like we said, grow an 11th toe. And
so tell me this, Ed. If the federal government came to you and said, Ed, we'd like you to be one of our guinea pigs. We're testing this new drug. See if you're going to develop antibodies. What would you say?
Would I have to have the virus already?
No.
Okay.
No, you're a healthy man that doesn't have the virus.
I would want to know what the side effects would be.
Okay.
Guarantee me what the side effects would be. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to be insured for it.
Okay.
You know.
Yes. So, okay. Well, that's a fair answer. But it sounds like you're willing to consider it.
Yeah, if I'm somewhat insured, I would try it. Sure.
I think that's noble. I really do. I think that's good of you. I think it's good of you. Now, we got this deal going with a lot of people pushing to have their mortgages and their rent payments suspended because they don't have the money. They don't have a job right now. And so we're going to talk with Tony Francois. He's a senior attorney for the Pacific Legal Foundation about whether or not we ought to go ahead with that idea. So we'll be back right after these messages.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on The Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I took my troubles down to Madam Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold cap too. She's got a pad on 34th and Vine, selling little bottles of love potion number 9.
We are back. We are back indeed, and delighted to have Tony Francois join us. He is a senior attorney for the Pacific Legal Foundation, and he's penned a piece in the Hill website, politicians seek relief for renters, but landlords have rights too. And he talks a little bit about the concept of canceling rent and mortgage payments during this pandemic. Tony, welcome to Freedom Works.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to join you today.
Yeah. This is a very interesting topic. I mean, I can kind of go back and forth on this one. I mean, here's a, you know, a family that's at home. The guy's no longer got his job. He's in his house or he's in his apartment. And the rent or the mortgage is coming due. I mean, you can feel for that guy, can't you?
No, absolutely. And given the numbers we've heard, on unemployment rates, especially loss of employment by low-income earners. I heard the number last week that something like 40% of households making $40,000 or less were out of work as a result of the response to COVID-19 and the various government shutdowns. Obviously, those households' ability to pay their rent is compromised. And before you even start talking about what the government should or can do about that, it's, just an economic reality that many, many landlords are probably going to have to eat a fair amount of rent simply because their tenants can't pay. And under the circumstances, this is not analogous to, you know, maybe you own an apartment building with 100 tenants and one of them, you know, won't pay the rent and you can evict that person and replace them with somebody who's ready, willing, and able to pay the rent. When so many people are out of work, it's not as though the average, you know, rental property owner has a number of people who can replace a non-paying tenant.
Right.
Tenants don't have great options right now if they're out of work, and landlords don't have great options if they have a lot of tenants who are out of work and unable to pay. So that's one of my starting points in the column, is that before the government comes rushing in to, quote, set everything straight, it's a good idea for everybody to take a step back and look at what's actually going on. Is there a wave of evictions nationwide that needs to be dealt with? Answer, no. And so, unfailingly, though, you've got progressive politicians whose answer to everything is to have the government intervene in it and dictate a particular solution to it that basically just redistributes harms.
Right. I'm reminded of the what Ronald Reagan called the 9 worst words. You know what those are?
I'm here to help.
There you go. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. And so we get this, I guess he's an independent. Of course he is, Bernie Sanders. Of course it's Bernie. And he says it's time to cancel rent, cancel mortgages until this crisis is over. Tell us about that thought.
Well, you know, here's the other part of, you know, what I was writing about with this. And this is inspired by the fact I know a fair number of, you know, pretty modest property holders who provide rental housing. My father-in-law does. A good friend of mine from college does. My wife and I used to own a house that we rented out. And that all comes with expenses. So the image of the, quote, the landlord, who owns all the property free and clear and doesn't have any expenses and doesn't have a mortgage to pay and, you know, doesn't have any taxes to pay, and therefore can simply be expected to go without the rental income at no harm to them, is remarkable. I mean, I can only ascribe it to class warfare. The notion that Sanders, and now rapidly on his heels, Joe Biden said, "Oh, that's right. We should forgive rent and mortgage payments for the duration." That evokes an image of all lenders and all landlords on one side as, you know, the man, if you will, and all renters and borrowers on the other side as the downtrodden little guys that really is just, you know, socialist class warfare. So no surprise that that's coming from Bernie Sanders and AOC. It's odd that the Democratic nominee or presumptive nominee is moving back toward Bernie Sanders instead of toward the middle after having wrapped up the primaries. But there you have it. So it just seems more and more that you know, all the answers to a crisis like this coming from the left are, you know, socialist.
We're talking with Tony Francois. He is the senior attorney for the Pacific Legal Foundation, and he has penned a piece that you can see on the Hill website. The politicians seek relief for renters, but landlords have rights too. You know, there are some banks, I think, with mortgages that send out notes to their to the people that have mortgages with them that they will work with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So I think that's the, and this is in the free market rather than the government, right?
Definitely. I think there have been efforts. I know here in California, the governor did some outreach with four of the major mortgage banks, and they have offered loan mods and, you know, forbearance for households that actually have lost income. And I think that's an important element of this is, you know, if you've maintained your income in these circumstances, the last thing you should be doing is not paying your rent or not paying your mortgage, because the, you know, the impact of this really needs to be limited to those who can't help it, to those who actually have lost their income and can't pay. And yeah, the free market is going to address this. I'm not going to say perfectly. I'm not a, you know, free market absolutist in the sense that no harm ever comes from people, you know, doing business with each other. But a lot less harm is going to come from people figuring things out than from the government coming in and saying, everybody stop. It's all going to be done this way.
Yeah.
Just like with the rental properties, mortgage lenders know that they know what happened 12 years ago, you know, with the collapse of property values and the mortgage market. And what they want right now is to limit the losses they're experiencing. And part of that is actually to make sure that the loans don't go into default and they have to reclassify them you know, in their accounting documents and things like that. So they're definitely going to work with you if you're proactive and if there's a reasonable thing that can be worked out.
Yeah, I think it's called common sense, isn't it? And
yeah.
I haven't heard any horror stories about people being tossed into the street yet. Now, maybe there are a couple. I haven't heard them. And then you've got a lot of laws that protect tenants and people that live in homes. You know, and it takes I mean, in the best of circumstances, I know about people that we refuse to leave their, you know, their rented domiciles and all kinds of, you know, the landlords had to go through all kinds of legal hoops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, you know, removing a non-paying tenant is one of, you know, when you look at different kinds of legal processes, it is one of the faster ones. But it's not a guarantee, and tenants do have defenses. One of the long-standing defenses in contract law, which is available in many states, is called impossibility, which basically it's a legal doctrine that recognizes that every now and then, you know, great big weird things happen that frustrate people's ability to perform contracts that they had agreed to. And so, you know, I think that a lot of tenants, if they're facing eviction, would probably have a decent argument that under these very unique circumstances, they should be temporarily excused from the obligation to pay. But that's something that then both sides get to argue out, and a judge decides, okay, how's this particular case going to get resolved? But several states have gone to the extreme of saying, we're not even going to let you proceed with an eviction action at all. So California, the Supreme Court issued an order saying that if somebody files an eviction action in court, the court is not to issue a summons. In other words, not to process the case, not to let it go forward. Well, here's the problem with that. People need to evict tenants for many more reasons than non-payment of rent. You've got tenants that damage property. You've got tenants that assault other people in the building or commit crimes that create liability for the property owner. You've got a lot of rental property owners who, you know, for completely unrelated reasons may decide, you know, I'm going to move back into this house.
Right.
And so I'm going to have to remove the tenant that I've been renting it to.
Wow.
So I can sell the other house, or I have to move for work.
Well, I mean, there's some dangerous circumstances there. I mean, are there no, I mean, has that legislation passed where the courts won't take it up? The eviction notices?
Well, so this is the amazing thing, and I don't know that all states are as, I guess, absolute monarchist as California, but the way that the emergency laws work in California, the governor can unilaterally declare a state of emergency, does not require legislative support to do that. There's no sunset on it. There's no legislative review of it. And for the duration of the self-declared emergency, the governor rules by fiat.
Wow.
And can suspend any regulatory statute that the legislature has previously passed. The only thing the governor needs the legislature for right now is money for something to be appropriated. So in the city where I live, Sacramento, they passed a local eviction suspension that's supposed to be limited to, you can't evict tenants who've lost their income because of the very shutdown orders that the county imposed. But the state Supreme Court has just bigfooted all of that and said there will be no eviction suits in the state of California for any reason for the duration. So if you've got that tenant that, you know, the neighbors are calling and the police saying this person is, you know, selling guns out of the house that you've rented to them, there's nothing you can do.
No, well, you can call the cops.
Well, this is true.
Toss the guy in the
police might arrest them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's about it. Well, what you're saying is, you know, a constant threat like this is going to be overlooked for the duration, and that's in the entire state? For the entire state?
That's statewide.
Wow.
And meanwhile, there's a couple of counties in California that have taken some steps to defer, if they can, property tax payments. But there are all kinds of expenses that that property owners have, whether they get paid the rent or not. And so part of the asymmetry, part of the unfairness in the approach in many states right now to rental arrangements is that while they're talking about suspending rent and canceling the obligation to pay rent, almost none of them are talking about deferring or restructuring property tax payments. And of course, you know, rental property owners have mortgage payments and insurance, yeah, and maintenance and all kinds of other costs. And, you know, there's not a lot of talk about how to mitigate those impacts. Certainly the government, you know, right now can't afford, you know, in sort of a perverse sense, cannot afford to forego the property tax payments. And so they, you know, they're certainly not going to forego the property tax. And so they should not be, you know, making that arrangement one-sided where the renter, in all cases, has no obligation to pay rent, but the property owner still has to pay all the taxes.
Yes, indeed. Right. A very, very interesting subject, Tony. Really appreciate your talking about it with us, and we'll continue to follow that issue, especially out there in California. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, my pleasure.
All right, sir. Tony Francois from the Pacific Legal Foundation. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, did you know that the House Democrats are still going on this impeachment investigation? And they want more info from the Mueller probe, the whole bit. So we're going to get some thoughts from the master barber on that and on Joe Biden's new nickname for President Trump.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. We are back here on Freedom Works on a Tuesday, and delighted to have our buddy, the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceresi, with us. And Andrew, got a couple of things going on here. You'll be delighted to know that the House Democrats not giving up on the impeachment situation. They told the Supreme Court yesterday that they're in the midst of an ongoing presidential impeachment investigation. They want to get their hands on the Mueller's report and go over it with a fine-tooth comb. I mean, you would think that they would finally give up on this nonsense.
Well, you know, Paul, they're going down for the count. We know that. Okay, they're reaching for anything they can. What do they want the Mueller report for? Because they're only going to use the Mueller report against the Democrats when it comes down to it. But you know what's got me, Paul?
What's that?
Why all of a sudden Mr. Barr says he's not going to interrogate Obama and Biden? Okay, I want to know who threatened the guy.
Oh, you think there's a threat? Well, he says that he doesn't think that it's going to lead to any kind of long-term action against either Biden or Obama.
No, that's because he's not going to investigate it. Look, all the proof is there. We all know what they've freaking done. Somebody threatened this guy. They threatened him. They threatened his family and everything else.
You think so, huh?
Well, you know, I am so determined. Just like you're talking about the Democrats going into this impeachment investigation. You know what? Paul, I really believe that people are getting fed up with this.
Oh, yeah. No question.
And I'm really beginning to believe that the only way we're going to handle Washington today is 20 million armed civilians going against Washington.
Uh-oh. You mean all...
I'm determined, and you know what? I think we're going to see it, Paul.
Wow. What do you mean? Everyone's going to get in their cars and drive down
20
to the
million
Capitol?
20 million of us only what? 20 million of us is nothing. There's 333 million or something in the country. But 20 million ought to be able to do a job against Washington.
But Andrew, don't you think they'll get their revenge in November when they vote President Trump in
Paul,
again?
I'm really beginning to believe that voting don't count no more.
Really?
Yeah, I'm really beginning to believe this is beyond the voting, okay? Because look at how they're trying to push for the mail-in voting and this and that. Paul, I think it's all disgusting, and I think it's all going to fall.
Wow. Well, it seems to me that despite this pandemic, and I think most people are backing what Trump has been doing. I really do. He seems to be doing fine in those states that most people are concerned about in the November election. If you look at some of these Real Clear Politics
polls. That'll be great if Trump gets elected again, and he will get elected again.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, you're still going to have all these headaches going on. People are fed up with it. Look at the people in the streets today. We're going back to normal whether they like it or not.
Right, they are. In fact, Governor DeSantis says, is it this week or is it next week, we're going to be able to go to 50% capacity in the restaurants rather than 25%?
That's right.
Today.
I'm sorry, what is that, Ed?
It's effective today.
It's effective today.
Is that effective yesterday?
Effective yesterday, that's right. So we got that going on. I guess they're opening up the gyms.
Yep.
Slowly.
Well, even the police in New Jersey yesterday, you saw what happened there, right? The guy opened up the gym against the orders.
Yes,
he did. The policeman went there and he said, have a nice day, guys.
Yes, he did. There you go.
Okay, the people are fed up with this crap. They know it's a bunch of crap, Paul. It's over with. This is going to be in the past. I say in another 10 days, you ain't going to hear about this coronavirus.
Now, let me ask you on a personal level, Andrew. You opened up again last week. I know you're packed. In fact, we're delighted you could give us a few of your moments here. But everything going okay at your place?
Everything is fine, Paul. As a matter of fact, like today, it seems like we're almost at normal pace again.
Really?
It's not like last week, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what to expect this summer because I don't know. You know, normally during the summer, a lot of my clients take off and go visit their family, graduation, this, that,
right,
out of state. That's not happening this year.
That's right.
So I really don't know what to expect, to be honest with you.
You're still maintaining full capacity there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's good.
We're still here. We'll all make a living, you know.
Yep.
As far as I'm concerned. But what's going on is really disgusting me, Paul.
Wow.
Well, it's really disgusting me. Like I say, it's making me believe that voting just don't even matter.
Well, I mean, if Trump is reelected, I think that would say a lot. And it seems to me that most people, despite what you'll be reading from the mainstream media or liberal media, I think most people are going, you know what? Trump's doing a good job.
Well, you know, look at these boat flotillas they're having all over the place. They got one here this Saturday. I wish I still had a boat. But there's thousands of boats all decorated in Trump gear.
There you go.
Okay? That's a sign to me. Like I said, it'll be great that Trump is in there, but we can't take another 4 years of this crap that's going on.
Yeah.
These people got to be gone. And they will be removed, believe me. If they get voted back in, I really believe the American people are going to remove them themselves.
Wow. Well, Joe Biden has finally come up with a nickname for President Trump. Have you heard about that?
No, I didn't hear that one yet.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, he's been holding off on this. He said he was really resisting giving Trump a nickname. Of course, Trump's nickname for Joe is Sleepy Joe. I think Joe Biden should consider himself lucky. I can think of a lot worse.
You got to call him Dementia Joe.
There you go. Well, here is, for the first time, Joe Biden's new name. Trump is President Tweety. President Tweety.
It's all right.
What do you think?
I think it should be President Tweety Trump.
Well?
Use the full name. President Tweety Trump.
About,
it's all right.
How about President Donald Tweety Trump? I like
good
that. I like the sound. It rolls off my tongue.
Yeah, but he can call him whatever he wants. So, the guy's going to lose. He's a moron.
We actually have the audio where he was trying to say it, but he kind of fumbled it up.
Oh, you have the audio?
He forgot what he called him.
Okay, let's hear it.
We got to... It's just... But
and you know
gotta,
how he probably I mean, came...
Hold on.
You know how he... Go ahead.
We
got
to reassure... Look, my message to everybody I talk to...
That's it.
I didn't hear it, but...
Oh, it was right at the beginning there.
Okay.
But we found out also recently it started for Joe Biden at a very young age, this whole speech thing.
Have you ever had a dream that you want him to do you so much you could do anything?
Yeah, that was Joe at age
three.
Joe was age 25 when he was talking. I remember that speech.
Well, he probably came up with the name Tweety because he was probably watching the Bugs Bunny show
yesterday.
Exactly. He saw Tweety Bird.
I love Tweety Bird. I like Grandma a lot, too. I always felt Sylvester got the raw end of that deal.
Come on, you know he didn't come up with that. Somebody told him that, and he probably said, I don't get it. But I'll say it anyway.
Well, you know, the more we see Joe, the more votes go into Trump's pocket. That's what I think. Because
I believe Trump is going to landslide him. I really do. But it's the we got to take this house over. We need to get rid of Pelosi. We need to get rid of Schiff. And like I'm telling you, I think if these people get voted in, they're going to be taken out.
Well, every single congressman is up in the House. So, you know, for re-election in November, I would not be surprised if the Republicans recapture the House. I'm not kidding.
They took two seats. They took two seats.
The signs are already there. Yeah, I don't know what... Mainstream America, the people that really go to vote, the ones that really care enough to go to vote, are in large measure, I think, have common sense. And they are going, I think it might be a tsunami.
I'm hoping. But you know, you got to realize, Paul, the American people, they lost a lot of what they used to be, Paul. They just don't have the guts, I would say. I mean, come on, look at how these people, look at the guys in World War II, 17 and 18 years old, storming Normandy Beach, right?
Oh, yeah.
And here you got these people today, oh, my God, I'm in the car with my mask on, I'm afraid.
Yeah,
what
I know.
What the hell is the matter with the American people?
True, true. What do you think about President Trump taking that hydroxychloroquine and talking about it? What do you think?
I think he's a pretty smart guy. He's making sure he stays in his good health. Mm-hmm. He has to, because let me tell you, he gets sick, we're screwed.
Yeah, he's an admitted germaphobe. I don't think he's ever going to get this thing, but you think
we need to see how Howie Mandela's handling this all, because I understand he's a big germaphobe too.
Okay, well there you go, Howie Mandela.
We need to get him and see how he handles it all.
And finally, Trump says that he's going to step in if any of the governors falter in what they're doing as far as reopening goes. Now, do you agree with that, or do you think that Trump should let each governor make a decision without interference from Trump?
Well, you know, Paul, Pelosi told all the Democrat states that are still closed, make sure you stay closed because we're going to reap the benefits of this in the election. We'll take the House, the Senate, and the presidency. But don't you realize that these people might really get pissed off?
You would think.
And these states that they're closing? I mean, you can see it already. But you know what? Maybe that's what we need. If I was Trump, I would stay out of it. Let the stupid-ass governors that don't know what's going on handle their state the way they are. Look at New York. They're crying. They want help from everybody. California. Maybe we need help. We got no money. You know what? Keep going down the tubes, buddy.
Well, states are starting to reopen. Even in Michigan, that Governor Whitmer, that lady... She's getting a lot.
I'm surprised they haven't taken her out yet, Paul.
Yeah, they may do that. I think people are fed up. I think people are just ready to get out again. I think people believe that if you get out, especially outside, you're probably doing yourself more good than, you know, hunkered down
like
that.
There's no question. You're listening to these people. Oh, they're telling the family, open your doors, let fresh air in, because in your house you get the air conditioner spreading those germs. And I'm so tired of hearing about it, Paul. It's phenomenal. They need to worry about a cure for cancer, not this year.
Yeah, you're right. I want to make sure everybody knows, however, that you you have a pristine barbershop. Everything is clean. And when people come in to get their haircuts, you take every precaution with them. I know you do. And I just want to make sure everybody realizes that. And by the way, they still need to call Nicole for their reservation.
Yeah, at this point, we still got to do it, you know.
Yeah.
And I might keep it. I don't know. I kind of like it.
You kind of like it.
And the customers all like it, too, because they come in, they don't have to wait.
They
There's
don't.
Not five people waiting, you know. So.
I came in, and immediately Nicole came up to me, and I got into the chair, and away we went. Let me make sure everybody knows all you have to do. Is call Nicole at 733-3773. That's in area code 727, of course, because you're in Dunedin. But again, 733-3773. And I'm going to let you get back to your customers. Andrew, thank you so much, and we'll definitely be talking again on Friday.
All right, Paul. You have a good day,
buddy. The same to you, buddy. All right, the Master Barber. Going to take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, the top 10 ice cream flavors in America.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment. By the way, Freedom Works. We're here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday on the great Tantalk Radio Network. And, Colly, got some sad news here, and I don't know if you remember this guy. Do you remember Leave It to Beaver, the show Leave It to Beaver? And if you did, do you remember Eddie Haskell, the character Eddie Haskell?
A little before my time, but I do know the name and the face.
All right, well, I loved Leave It to Beaver. It was a big-time show in the early 60s. And Ken Osmond, he was best known for being Eddie Haskell. And he was the guy that everybody, by the way, you know, kind of were going, yay, because he would come in and make sure that the Beaver did something wrong. Mm. But he would then go out in the living room of the Beaver's house and be so, hi, Mrs. Cleaver, how are you today? You know, it was perfect. But Eddie Haskell died. He was 76 years old. They say he was an incredibly kind and wonderful father. So that goes right against the way he was typecast in the Beavers program. He apparently died in his home in L.A. You know, he became a policeman. Mm. Eddie Haskell, or Eddie, I should say, Ken Osman. He became a policeman. But he starred in the Beaver series up until 1963 as a two-faced teenage scoundrel. That's what they call him here in the obituary. He was only originally supposed to be a one-off guest appearance on the program. However, he carried it off so well, they stuck him in the show. And he appeared in nearly 100 of the show's 234 episodes. So there you go. Also, a little Florida news. It turns out Florida's public universities are going to reopen in the fall. According to higher education leaders, the specifics are going to be discussed on May the 28th at the Board of Governors meeting. A task force will present guidelines, but apparently the kids can go back to the schools, and I'm not talking just getting on a computer. State campuses have largely been closed since mid-March, so that's kind of good news. You worry about the kids, you know. I mean, I'm sure they're doing their best with this, I don't know what you call it, online education, but it's not the same.
No.
Not the same at all. Also, for Florida Democrats, watch out. Democrats running in down ballot races are being outfunded by the Republicans in Florida, 5-1. 5-1, according to an analysis from a national organization called Forward Majority, dedicated basically to helping Democrats. They're getting outraised 5-1 by their counterparts in the House races. Apparently, the Republican candidates have netted over $4 million. Democrats, about $860,000. By the way, Ed, I got to ask you, did you watch any of that Darlington race on television?
No.
You didn't?
No.
I thought maybe you were so hungry for any kind of live sporting event.
Not that hungry.
Okay. So are we still on in baseball for possibly a July 4th opening day?
They're talking about it. I think NFL owners are meeting this week also about their season. The next great thing will be, I'm never watched a golf game before.
I hate that. I think it's boring, but go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
But this Sunday at 3 o'clock, it will be... Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning.
Really?
Against, what is his name? And Tom Brady.
Okay,
for
so we got...
For COVID.
Hey, that'll
relief.
Be kind of interesting. I would think Brady and Manning are probably... They're good athletes, I'm sure.
I can't remember his name. He's a well-known golfer. And
yeah.
I don't know. Kenny will know tomorrow. But.
Yeah. But if Tiger Woods is in there, it's going to
draw.
Tiger
and Peyton against Tom Brady and...
Wow. Are they playing it in Florida?
I don't know where it's being played at, actually.
Okay.
I would assume.
But it's going to be on television.
Yeah, 3 o'clock Sunday.
What on Sunday?
Yeah, TNT.
TNT, yeah. 3 o'clock Sunday. I may, just for the fun of it, I may take a gander.
I'll watch that.
Take a look at it. You know what, though? It is. I'm sorry, but I've never considered, maybe I should.
Golf, it just doesn't.
I've never thought of it as a real sport. I guess it is, you know, to be able to hit that thing well and straight. It is.
It's just so boring to watch.
It's
just like to me with racing, too. They just keep going in a circle and going in a circle.
I mean, you hit the damn ball, and then, you know, the rest of the time you're walking to it. I don't know. I'd rather throw my club. I think I'd have more accuracy. Or throw the ball with my hand.
I had two experiences with golf. Mm-hmm. My grandfather had left me clubs for years after he passed away. So I thought I'd take him out to the driving range and try them.
Mm-hmm.
Got everything, got new balls and everything like that. Went out there, loaded up about the third one. I whacked it. It hit the driving range. It hit the pole and came right back at me.
Oh, no.
Threw the clubs in the thing and left. And then I was at this little sports bar. It used to be in Pinellas Park. And it wasn't a mini golf course, but it was a short-range golf course where they were about 50 yards away each hole. So you'd tee off at like 50 yards. And I had nothing to do, and I was standing there, and I figured I picked up a thing, whacked it, hole in one, Dropped the club
really?
And left. Yep.
That was your last time?
That's it.
You know what?
Well,
I admire you. I
one.
Admire you. If I had done a hole in one, I couldn't resist. I'd want to be back out there the next day, but that's fantastic.
Me with gambling. I win money, I leave.
Wow. Wow. Wow, that's terrific. That's really something. All right, Ed. Time for you to get over on the drums. We're going to talk drums rather than golf because we got the top 10 ice cream flavors in the United States. This comes from factretriever.com. And I want to see, Ed, if you can get the number one favorite when we do the other. So here we go. Without further ado, number 10, Neapolitan. Oh, boy, I remember that one.
Is that green?
Neapolitan's the three different.
Okay.
Chocolate, strawberry, and vanilla. It's
okay.
Called Neapolitan.
Oh, okay.
Ice.
Yeah,
remember
right.
those? Okay.
Yep.
Number 10. All right, number 9. Oh, sorry, I meant number 9. Number 9 is Moose Tracks. You know what that is?
No.
It's
something with something in it.
Yeah, it's got that, what do you call it? It's like a... It's like a chocolate, pieces of chocolate chip, but it's not chocolate. I can't think of what that
is. Caramel?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's caramel. Thank you, sir. Number 8. Strawberry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought that would be higher up, if you want to know the truth. Strawberry. Number 7. Cookie dough.
Oh, yeah.
You like that one?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever had that one.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
It is good. Okay. Number 6. Butter pecan.
Yeah.
You don't like it?
I don't like pecan.
No kidding.
No.
Have you ever tried butter pecan?
Yep.
You didn't like it?
No.
Okay. All right. Number 5. Chocolate chip cookie dough.
Well, cookie dough, that should have been the same thing. Because
it's chocolate chip,
okay,
and
so
it's higher.
Chocolate chip.
It's higher than regular cookie dough. Have you ever had that one?
Yes.
You like it?
Yeah.
Okay. Number 4. Mint chocolate chip.
Yeah, that's good.
I like that one.
Yeah.
That's the one that's green colored.
Yep.
With pieces of chocolate chip in it.
Yeah,
I like that one, I have to admit. Number 3. Cookies and cream.
Oh, yeah.
You like that one?
Yep.
What kind of a cookie taste? Oreos?
It can be. It depends on what.
Or like a chocolate chip cookie?
Yeah, it could be too.
Okay.
I don't know.
Or an oatmeal?
Mm.
It could be anything. Okay. Mm. I thought maybe it was a special kind of cookie. All right. Number 2. Chocolate.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, really? You know, that is, that's a mainstay. All right, Ed. Hey, we got a little extra time, too, so you can take your sweet time.
Vanilla.
Well, why don't you take a little time before you come up with
the... Well, I can tell you, have you ever been to the yogurt place at Clearwater Mall?
I have.
Yeah.
Well, no, Countryside Mall, there's yogurt places.
Well, Clearwater Mall, too.
In the Clearwater Mall, okay.
Clearwater Mall on the facing 60, Gulf to Bay.
Yes.
There's a place in there, yogurt, I forget what it's called.
Uh-huh.
It's not ice cream, it's yogurt, but it's great.
Yeah.
You want all those flavors,
and you get the same one, yes.
It's the soft
stuff.
That's
true.
Yeah.
I love yogurt.
Yeah.
I've always liked yogurt. I would think that, and they have yogurt in the stores, right?
Yep.
You can get it in, I always think of it as ice cream.
Yep.
Anyway, here we go. Here's the number one flavor. Yep. It's vanilla. Why am I not surprised?
Can't go. I figured chocolate and vanilla would be at the top.
Yeah. When Howard Johnson first came out and they had only one flavor, vanilla. Okay, my friends, thank you so very much. We will be back on Friday. Stay safe and remember, freedom works.